And Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whisper of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Take your Bible, please, and go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Scripture teaches us that Paul the Apostle came to the church at Philippi and wrote this. And he said, now listen. He said, I want you to know that I don't count myself to have apprehended. I said, I don't count myself as being perfect. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling God in Christ Jesus. He had a desire to do His best. When I was playing football, I had one desire, and that was never sit on the bench. I wanted to play so bad that I would weep if I could not play. I gave up everything just to play football. I don't care what grasped my heart. I was going to play football. And when I arrived in college for our fall football practice at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College in Old Town of Minnesota, I heard an upperclassman saying to another, some of the freshmen, no freshmen ever start until at least the sophomore. And I'll be honest with you, that really irritated me. I started on both defense and offense when I was in high school, and I came early to practice, and I left late to practice. I studied my playbook. I tried everything that I could do so that I would never have to sit on that stinking bench. Okay, I get it. Yes, I know that you get a nice, pretty clean uniform and free tickets to the game and special food and the best seats in the house, but I tell you, that's not what for me. I didn't want to sit on the bench. I'd stand by the coach so close that I could tell you what kind of gum he was chewing. I remember that he did or did not wear deodorant. I would get so close to him that my feet tangled up on him once, and he yelled, "Sheriff, what's the matter with you?" And I wanted to say, "I'll tell you what's the matter with me, coach. I want to play." Let me tell you about most athletes. They want to play. They'll give their whole life just to play. They will do and sacrifice and give up everything, anything, so that they can be on the team. You know what? We call that enthusiasm. We call that character. That is what Paul the Apostle was in his real life. He wrote to his son Timothy, he said, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be the soldier." Now, hang on to your hats. This is not going to be a sissy sermon. In fact, I don't think I ever preached a sissy sermon. But in Christian life, if you do that, and if you're always under the preacher's feet, and you always want to do something, they call that fanaticism. You're a fanatic. But a stinking basketball game, or a stinking football game, or track or something, you call that championship. They're real winners. I'm afraid that Satan has dumbed down to so much that we don't want to be that kind of a person for Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I watched the Olympics, and I watched them very carefully, and I noticed and I listened very carefully about their training and the hours and hours. I remember the guy that did the false start, and he couldn't run. I mean, he was done. He went off the track weeping. You know why? For 6 years, he had given up everything he had. Everything he had. 6 years. He gave up everything he had. And took off before the gun went off. Disqualified. He was done. You know, there's a lot of Christians like that. And usually when a Christian does that, they quit. They say, "It's not fair. I'm not treated very good." You do that in Olympics, and people say that's the rules. When you become a Christian, your job is to be faithful. Y'all understand that, right? Would you say amen? Yeah, that's our job. That's our job to be faithful. One man said, "Hey, just showing up to church is 75% of the Christian life. Just showing up." Faithful to call demands sacrifice. Listen to me now. Sacrifice is demanded. Faithful. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. "Now when Jesus saw great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, 'Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.' And Jesus saith unto him, 'The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury the dead.'" When reading Matthew chapter 8 there, it is very interesting that two men approach the Lord Jesus Christ. And they tell him that they want to follow him. Jesus did not invite them to follow him. Either of these men to come to follow him. They came up and volunteered their service to him. "Lord, we will go anywhere with you." And Jesus explained to them that the ministry involves sacrifice. He said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to place his head." What was Jesus Christ saying? If you want to follow me, you're going to sacrifice. But on the other hand, Jesus would tell them a lot more how the blessings will come by serving God, of course. Amen. We know that, right? So he said, first of all, he said, there's sacrifice. As Jesus moved his disciples due to a place in these men that had offered their sacrifice to Christ, they are nowhere to be found. You never read about these men again. You do not hear. You do hear that one man said, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, in the Eastern countries and culture, the oldest son was expected to stay around home until his father died. That was the responsibility he had. But first, it was the custom of the day to wait and take care of the family business and bury the father before you can go and endeavor to do your own business. You know, as a pastor, I've watched many a man make great decisions for the Lord God and for God's work. I've witnessed many men claim that they have the call of God upon them. Yes, I've saw some fruit that tended me to believe that they had been called to God in their life. Yet when push came to shove, like one man said, when the rubber hit the road, I could never find them. Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Once God has called you, you can't repent of it. Y'all understand that, right? I think of a man who came to our church over 30 years ago. He was an Air Force base in England, came here, and oh boy, he was all fired up about serving God. He always wanted to preach, wanted to teach. Often I would have his little family get up in our services sing, and they were so cute, and they quoted scriptures. Oh man, he was on fire. But when he got himself into some financial difficulty, instead of doing what he had promised God, he took another job. He began to miss church service, and soon I noticed that his family began to miss the Wednesday night service, then Sunday night, and then all of a sudden, they faded away. One night, I got a call from someone in our church saying that his wife had left the home with a bottle of pills, and she was going to take care of business. Marcia and I jumped in the car. We started driving all over Great Falls. And God's hand was on that because, well, before I knew it, her car was sitting at the river access. And she said something like this, "Preacher, I'm tired of it. I'm tired. God called my husband to preach. And now he doesn't even want to come to church anymore." He got out of the service, moved his precious little family back home. It wasn't long and I heard that his wife and precious little family of five had left him. He became a drunkard. I am not at liberty to tell you what some of those precious children had to go through. Oh, what a sad story of a good man. Yes, he was a good man. But he turned from being faithful to the call of God to a man ashamed. Well, you listen to me now. Satan will attack you and attack you and attack you. He will not. He has no shame. He is in the business to shipwreck you. He will try to discourage you and shame you and try to kill you. You better watch out because this is real. It's real. You start missing Sunday school opening, then you'll start missing Sunday school, then you'll start missing the Sunday evening service, you'll start missing the Wednesday night service, the morning service, the evangelistic meetings, the mission conference. You decide on your own agenda and you think that what you're doing deems more important than the God's work instead of being faithful to the all assembling of our church, as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 command you, not forsaking the assembly. You make your choice. I don't have to do what the preacher says. Oh, yes, you do. The Bible said, obey them to have authority over you. Yes, you do. The man of God loves you. And he wants to serve you, God. And he cares for you. This morning I was praying for a family. My heart's broken for them. Walk away from God. I don't know where they're at. Can't find them. Used to be faithful. Something happened. Satan snared them. Satan got a hold of them. Satan pushed them all aside. And all of a sudden they feel that everything's against them. Instead of being faithful to all the assembly of the church that the Hebrews commanded you. By the way, it is not a suggestion for us to be in church when the doors are open. It is the Almighty command, not for sake of the assembly. Hey, whenever this door of this church is open for services, you're to be here by God's grace. Amen. Or oh me. You stop your tithing, you start playing game, your ball games and head of your church. Bang! Satan's got you. Yes, he has. This is nothing new to me. I've watched this show for almost 48 years as a pastor. I've watched the young teenagers in my home, their families, great potential, walk away from God and lose everything that they claim to live for and stand for. When you're not faithful, listen to me, when you're not faithful, you're telling those precious little children who happen to be the gift of God to you from God that everything else in the world is more important than the house of God. Yes, it does. They're watching you. God have mercy on your wretched soul. Those little ones in your home won't have a chance to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In 34 years I've pastored this church, I've seen them come and I've seen them go. I've seen them come like blazing shooting stars, like blazing comets. They were there today, gone tomorrow. You say, I don't like your kind of preaching. Well, God doesn't like your kind of living. Amen. I'm concerned with a church that's unwilling to be faithful to every service. God calls us to be faithful. I understand you got to work. Okay, I got that. I understand when people are sick. I got that. I understand when the person you're taking care of doesn't do the things you want them to do. And you literally have to drag them. I understand that. But I can't understand how a person that calls himself a Christian does not keep the Bible. Now look at some facts. How does a man fail in faithfulness? If you volunteer to serve God, you have no hidden agenda. Know what the man said to the Lord. Lord, suffer me first and go bury my father. I think that we can all agree there's nothing wrong with burying your father. But back in the days of Jesus on earth, and even today, they buried that dead person before sundown in the same day. They still do it. Therefore, the statement to Christ poses a problem. This man had a hidden agenda. He had something more important on his mind. You see, back in the Old Testament time, the oldest son was given a double portion. When a father dies, he gets the double portion. The rest of the children got the rest of the leftover. He was responsible to take care of the family business within the laws of God. If he did, he got a double portion of all the property, a double portion of his father's money. Note Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 7, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated of the firstborn, being given him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of strength and the right of the firstborn his. That's God's word. If you take care of daddy and mama, you get a double portion, all the rest of the kids get what's ever left. So literally, he would get two-thirds, and the children would get the one-third. But if he left the responsibility, he'd get nothing. He lost out on what his father had. So he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, when everything in the place of my life is in place in my life, when everything is done, when I got everything taken care of, then I will come and serve you. When all the projects are done, when I'm ready. Secondly, to have a faithful call of God, you must also cry, yes, Master, at every command of the Master. Faithfulness is said, yes, yes, Master. How does a man keep faithful to the call? He's always striving to be a good soldier. Man, we got some great soldiers in our church today. We got some great soldiers. I've heard your stories. True soldiers. always cry, sir, yes, sir. Amen? You have no agenda. You just do what your boss tells you to do. Isn't that right? No question. Now, if it's immoral, you can question it, but I'll tell you what, you better make sure that you got your stuff straight. True soldiers of Jesus Christ also cry, sir, yes, sir. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There, that's how you stay faithful to the call. You train your mind and your heart to be a good soldier. You discipline your body. You discipline your soul. You discipline your spirit to endure hardness. Always willing to give your life for the cause. Amen? Aren't you always willing to give your life for America? If you're a soldier, absolutely. If you're not, get out of the Army. Get out of the Navy. Get out of the Marines. Get out of the Coast Guard. Get out of the Air Force. Get out. We don't want you in there. Sick and tired of these mamby-pamby, pink tea, lemonade, lacy panty guys. They're not willing to do what's right. By the way, I'm sick and tired of the same kind of Christians. Sick and tired of. Well, I don't know if I got time to do that or not. I may have to stay up and watch Oprah or whatever. Can't even be at time of Sunday school. Can't even come to the opening service. Got to go out and play baseball or golf. More important than God's work. I want to tell you something. It's not important than God's work. There's nothing more important than God's work. You say, you're a fanatic. Well, if I'm a fanatic because I do as my master tells me, so be it. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I am privileged to know soldiers that a whisper of a command will give their life without question to be faithful to their command. Thank God for people like that. Thank God for men and women like that. Just a whisper. And they're going to... I know first responders who, without thought, have lost their lives, will climb into burning vehicles and climb into burning buildings. I was one of them. Chief said, hey, get up there, put on that Scott air pack and climb up that up in that burning building. Go in and see if there's anybody there. Without thought of risk of maim or death. Just because that's what you're supposed to do. I know first responders who will willingly take a bullet for somebody that they've never met, don't know. Paul wrote to his son Timothy of the faith, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. Entangling yourself. A number of years ago, I was up at camp in Canada. I was preaching up there, and my friend of mine, after in the afternoon, took me to the Bow River, and I had my scuba gear with me. And I realized that the river wasn't that deep. And so I just put a snorkel on, and I had my wetsuit on. That water is cold up there, I'll promise you that. And it was the summer in July, and under the bridge, there's a deep hole, and I spotted a new shiny fishing lure. I took a deep breath and dove down to retrieve it, and without notice, one of the treble hooks had hooked into my hand, and I got tangled up with some very strong line. I couldn't get away from it. I literally almost drowned. I used every muscle of my body against that strong current to get away. I thought, how stupid is this? I'm going down to drown because I got entangled. I almost lost my life for a lousy, stupid $5 Rapala lure. Not good. A lot of you people in this church have got tangled up in a $5 lure. You just know you got to have it. Paul advised the church at Colossae to be faithful to the call. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I hear men of great faith get caught up in this fornication business, adultery. Lose everything to God. Heard of a pastor the other day, huge church. Got caught up, got entangled. Heard some friends of mine that, good people, good church members, got messed up with somebody else's wife. Entangled himself, literally destroyed him and her husband and his wife and all their children and their church people, their church that ran with, all their testimony at work and everything. I mean, they were really up here. The Bible said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not of the abundance of things which he hath, possesseth. For John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you forget anything of this sermon, don't you forget this. Natural man is always looking after number one. He always cries, suffer me first. Suffer me first. Suffer me first. He always wastes his affection on his old clay. Then if there's any left over, maybe he will donate the rest to God. You will find, if you have not already, that every man has his master. Every man may be his business. It may be his home. It may be he is his own master. Every man has a passion. Every man will use his power to will. He is a servant to consent. Mankind cries, suffer me first to do the inferior thing of life. Suffer me first to take care of myself. Suffer me first to take care of my household. Suffer me first to take care of my business. Suffer me first to take care of my party. Suffer me first to look after my enterprise. By the way, Satan's not subtle. Excuse me, by the way, Satan is very subtle. From the moment you finish what you thought had been done first, there's always another suffer me first to take its place and will occupy you so that you cannot do nor have the time to do it. That's why I say you're looking over my shoulder when you did your Bible study this morning. What God wanted and called you to accomplish, you never got to it because you're always doing something, you're always suffering something else first. Many a man will put off best for the inferior. Real men that love God will stick it out, stick to it, grit their teeth, and will not quit. I'm going to do this project and it's going to get done. There are a lot of men called in the ministry to turn out, be like the man of the big city who had a big dream. I've told this before. It's a great illustration. He is fascinated by raising fruit in southern Michigan. He moves out in the country, sets out plants and orchards in great anticipation of the result. But no sooner had his trees got a good start, and nature became his terror. The frost blasts the blossoms, the worm gnawed the roots, where the insects sting both the blossom and the roots. And when he had toiled year after year and brought his trees into such a state, now he thinks he's going to have a great surplus delicious fruit, and black wart seizes the plum tree, and gum canker attacks the cherry tree, and winter blight kills the pear tree, and the apple trees do not bear. And at last, disgusted with raging fruit, he comes back to the city and says, I prefer not to cultivate fruit. I've had enough of garden. Do you know what? You watch the lives of great missionaries And it's usually in their later years is when God really gives them the increase. The idea is that if Satan can stop you soon, you're done. But he'll keep pounding you and he'll keep pounding you and keep pounding you and keep pounding you and bring things in your life and bring problems in your life and bring crisis in your life and bring financial trouble in your life and bring marital problems in your life and children problems in your life. And you name it, it'll come. Sickness. But God says one thing. Be faithful. Just be faithful. God didn't say that the honor is going to come to the one that has the most people. God didn't say the honor is the one that has the man that has the most money. God said the honor comes to the man who's most faithful. Faithful in a little. I'd rather take a man that's faithful in a little than a guy that has no faith at all. The true servant of God has only one eye, one hand, one heart, one prayer, one desire, and one end to bring glory to the honor of the Master and His Master's name. As a true born-again Christian, we want to please Him and all that we do and say, and whether it be a great city or a small village, we are to remain faithful to the call. Faithful. You say, but preacher, I only got 4 or 5 people in my Sunday school. You be faithful. You be here at 9:20 like you're supposed to be. Every Sunday morning, you get in your classroom, you make sure, you survey it, make sure everything's ready for them to come. You say, but I only have 4. Well, that'll all be pretty easy. I don't know you, I've been in college before, and I've been in college 100 students. It seemed like I didn't get a thing from that class. Then I sat with the professor with 5 or 6 students, and man, I tell you what, you talk about getting information. What a privilege it is to have a student. My prayer, O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Peter once complained to the Lord. He said, we have all left and followed thee. And Jesus replied, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in the present time and the world to come, life everlasting. God said, I want you to know, you just be faithful. Bless God when the door's open, you be here. Shame on us if we're not faithful. We're not fulfilling the great commission that God's given us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shown towards His name and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God said, I'm going to tell you something. I am not unrighteous. When you minister to the saints and do minister, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to take care of you. Faithful to the call means taking care of your family. You can't do much for the Master when your family is in disarray, disorder, and confused. Be willing to be honorable in all your behavior. The world is always ready and looking to criticize Christians by their lives. Aren't they? They're always looking. Nah, yeah, I knew you would. I knew it. A couple of years ago, I was up at the sheriff's office and I was asked if I would be tased by a taser. That's 50,000 volts for 5 seconds. It seems like the longest day of your life, and you think it'll never let up. I've never been hurt so bad in my whole life. And they're amazed when that thing went off how good I felt. When I walked into the room, I was the first one to be tased. I'm glad. 13 of us were going to get tased that day, and I walked in, and all of a sudden I seen all the office personnel come in. I saw the sheriff come in. I saw the undersheriff come in. I seen the captain. I saw the lieutenants. I saw the sergeants. The room was packed. And I said, why are you all here? He said, we want to hear what you're going to say. Oh, they'd love to hear me curse. By the way, I can curse. I'm ashamed of it. But I'm cursed. There was a time in my life I had a filthy mouth. They hit me with that 50,000 volts. Then I'll tell you, I locked up. And I said, "Oh, Jesus, dear Jesus, God, help me." Boom, fell on my face on the ground. And the sheriff said, "We were wondering what you were going to say, Chaplain." Man, I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't. Because the next 13, almost every one of them used God's name and verse in vain and cursed some of the filthiest words I ever heard. They're looking. They're looking at us. We need to be faithful. We need to say, "God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Watch your tongue." I'm amazed that so many Christians use God's name in vain. Oh, God. I had a chaplain the other day say, "Hey, I bet you I counted five times." He said, "Well, God this and God this." I want to haul up and smack him. Are you kidding me? "Thou shalt not use the Lord's God name in vain." That's in vain. I see the OMG. I hate that. I hate it. I mean, I despise it. It means, "Oh, my God." I had a minister over to my home. I'm talking about taking care of your family. I had a minister over to my home a long time ago with his children. I'm telling you, they about caused me a nervous breakdown. Y'all know the way I am with children. Y'all know that they're my best friends. But I'm telling you, this guy had a couple kids. I'm telling you, they were set on fire from hell. Preacher's kids. The Bible said, if you don't have your children in check, how can you lead the church of God? I'm about ready to take that dad and take him out and whoop him. His excuse was how the children were busting up all and tearing things up in my house was, "Well, you know, kids can be kids." I tell you what, if you're a minister and you don't have your children disciplined by the eyes, that means you don't have your children disciplined. You say, "I don't like that." Well, you got the problem. Someday you're going to wish that you switched them when they're younger. Pretty hard to whoop them when they're big. Faith of the call of the ministry is reading and study and meditation. Scriptures teaches us that we read and we study and meditate. That's our responsibility. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. "It is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve table, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." Faithful to the call is doing what we are called to do. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. This is one thing I do," Paul said. One great plan, one great aim, one grand purpose in life. He did not, nor was he willing to mingle with the world and Christianity and to gain both. I'm so sick and tired of these churches. It just breaks my heart. These churches that... Last week somebody came to our church and said, "You know, preacher, I went to this church. I'll never go back there again." I said, "What?" "Well, the guy in the ministry leader or whatever they call it, he cursed three times in the service. And the reason he curses is because he wants to get down to the level so he can get to the level of those people to win them to Christ." I'm telling you what. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Righteousness is righteousness. God have mercy. What do we got? You got to have your rock and roll bands. You got to have your bomb blow up. You got to have everything else to go on just to get a crowd. Let me tell you something. That's not how God said. God said, "I'd add to the church daily." Listen, I'm just begging you, be faithful. Just be faithful. drag in, pull in, however you get here, but be faithful to your church. I'll be honest with you. I don't normally pick a passage of Scripture to preach for certain people, but there's a certain people that told me they were going to be here today. They're young Christians. They need this more than any of you people in this auditorium. Guess what? Not here. You do that to Grandma. Grandma's got a big supper ready for you, and don't show up. That ain't good. And every time this old preacher studies and gives his heart to this Word of God, and you don't show up, you're spitting in my face. He said, I don't need it. Well, yes, you do need it. You're probably the one who needs it the most. A church is a place we come together to fellowship, be exhorted by the Word of God. We come here to be literally spanked, throttled, if you want to say, footstepped on, you name it, so that you can see in your heart, your life, say, you know what? Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. I want to change my life. I want to change my behavior. And I want to be a better daddy. I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better child for God. I want to bring honor and the glory to the Heavenly Father. We're getting to a place today that churches aren't church. Man, you can get more church down at the local bar and grill than you get in some of these churches. So folks, there's something wrong in America. There's something wrong with people who do not want to stand for the truth of the Word of God. They don't want to walk for God. They don't want to talk for God. They just get along. Well, let me tell you, one of these days the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ arise, and they that remain shall be caught up, and they'll ever be with the Lord. And that day is coming, and certainly looks like it's coming soon. Boy, if it was a Sunday morning, and I was out roasting wieners on a campfire instead of being in church, brother, I'd be scared to death. You say, but preach, I don't have enough time. You can find time. You can find time. Yes, you can. But you make sure that you put God first in your life. Because there's a whole bunch of people watching you. Father, I have done as best as I could. My heart grieves, Lord God, if folks are just so passe about the things of you. God, you saved my soul. You changed my life. You promised me a home in heaven. You saved my wife. You saved my children. You saved my grandchildren, Lord God. They have a home in heaven waiting for them. You give us a fellowship of brothers and sisters. We have brothers and sisters that we never had before. Dear God, you come and you answer our prayers and you help us in time of need. And when all else fails, we can cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. Dear God, start something in us. How do we expect the world to be right when we can't even be as Christians? To have the Word of God, to have the Holy Spirit live within us. Dear God, move us. Help us to be faithful to the call that God has given us, Lord God. And when we have accepted that call, we realize that you can't get out of it. So now speak to our hearts today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't get a thing you were saying today. You probably didn't. But if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, today should be that day that you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come into your heart. He becomes your Savior. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. Would you pray for me? All right. You hear today and say, preacher, there are some things in my heart and my life I got to work at. This is serious business. Yes, it is serious business. Preacher, please pray for me. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Father, speak to us, our hearts now as we have this time and invitation. In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that today." Why don't you come out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, "Preacher, today I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I don't want to live like this anymore." Your day, you say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. I need to do that. Why don't you come?" Your day, you say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. You come." You're here today and you say, "Preacher, there's some things God's dealing with me in my heart and my life. The gifts of calling of God are without repentance. I can't repent. I can't get out of it." That's absolutely right. God's speaking to your heart. God's speaking to you to be faithful. Are you faithful? Are you a servant of God? Do you cry out, "Sir, yes, sir, yes, master"? Or do you say, "Not right now, Lord. I'm busy"? Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord God, go from this building different than we come in. Help us to make a decision in our heart and our life and our family that we are going to be faithful. Lord, even the little thing, the small thing that seem very insignificant are huge to you. Lord, help us to walk close to you. Bring us back to church tonight at 6 in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.